Our scripture on the second Sunday of Christmastide is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day.
And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind being fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
God. For the love of God, we listen to the creation story. Amen? For the love of God, we are in this place. I hope that in these next few weeks, as we explore for the love of God, we will awaken that the Bible is a love story, God's love story to humanity. And during these next few weeks, we'll be exploring creation, the garden, the burning bush, atonement, forgiveness, baptism, follow me, and nothing separates us. During these weeks, I pray that I'll be hearing the echo and honoring the heritage of my father and grandfather, Reverend Rex Lindemood and Reverend Mulford Beverly Simonson. And as those two voices echo in my spirit, you'll get to hear again, the Bible's not a book, it's a library. And you'll also hear my father's voice as he said, "Olin, the Bible's not a science book, it wasn't intended for that. It's intended to be God's love story to us." So pay attention to the love story of God to you. I cherish that in my spirit. I do. And it's my hope that we'll open the Bible with the intent of reading some chapters in these books, and I pray it becomes a romance novel for us. That's intended to be on the lighter side of kind of the way to open the scriptures, as a love story of God saying, "I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it." So here we are, for the love of God, hearing the creation story. Some years ago, I was influenced by a biblical professor, Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann, you can imagine, is one of those old school professors in the ivory towers of higher learning. He had half reading glasses and he could look over the top of them. He was a curmudgeon, a grumpy soul and spirit, an arrogant, pompous jerk. And crystal clear in what he thought and taught and believed. And when you would encounter him, his thoughts, you had to make your choice. Do I agree or do I disagree with what he's saying? He was demanding in his thoughts, and he offered a few words around the genre of Genesis. his vocabulary. His words. Comment needs to be made on the matter of creation, world beginnings, and attempts to correlate creation narratives with modern scientific hypothesis. The expositor must move between two temptations. On the one hand, there is the temptation to treat this material as historical, as a report of what happened. This will be pursued by those who regard science as a threat and want to protect their particular claims to the Genesis text. If these materials are regarded as historical, then a collision with science theories is predictable. On the other hand, there is the temptation to treat these materials as myth, as statements which announce what has always been and will always be true of the world. This will be pursued by those who want to harmonize the text with scientific perceptions and who seek to make the text in Genesis rationally acceptable. Now, our expository principles will insist that these texts in Genesis be taken neither as history nor as myth. Rather, we insist that the text is a proclamation of God's decisive dealings with creation. I'll repeat that. He says, we insist that the Genesis text is a proclamation of God's decisive dealings with creation. Aren't you glad you didn't have to listen to his lectures for hours and hours and hours? There's something significant in his final phrase there. Genesis is a proclamation of God's creation in our world. Genesis is a proclamation of God's love through creation in our world. And that is good news for us. Through the years, I learned that Levitical priests collected what became Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And in these collected verses, the opening of the Bible, Levitical priests, a long, long time ago, were wanting to offer a song, poetry, a liturgy for the people to hear and affirm their faith that God is the creator of everything that we encounter. All things are created by God. That's good news. Remember the outline of creation? Day one, night and day. Day two, sky and sea. Day three, land and vegetation. Day four, stars, sun, and moon. Day five, fish and birds. Day six, animals and humankind. And day seven, rest. I'm going to invite us to hear what the Levitical priests had in mind when they offered a song. That is the proclamation of God's love in all of creation. And while we do that, I'm going to offer some images. I had some fun looking for different stained glass windows. When you type in Google, stained glass windows, images of creation, you get a variety. You're going to see a few of those as we go day to day. If you brought your own Bible, you're welcome to open it. There's some phrases that could be highlighted in every Bible if you chose to. We begin. Genesis chapter 1. Hear the echo that we heard earlier. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the day the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the water that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it. It was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds of every kind, and the trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. And God made the wild animals of the earth and every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. God, could you reconsider some of the creepy things that creep upon the ground? God just said no. Did you hear that? I mean, even the creepy things. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. Verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude, and on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. Thanks be to God for the love of God. Thanks for creation. Thanks for the good of creation. Did you hear it? Did you hear the love song of creation? Did you hear the proclamation of God's creation loving and adoring us? Did you hear the power of God in creating everything that we might be sustained in this world? Did you hear the power of God's gift to us in creation? Did you hear the power of God's love that we too are part of that creation? Did you hear it? Did you hear God's love creating us also? Did you hear the power of God creating you and loving you? Did you hear it? Throughout the ages, we've heard the proclamation of creation. We've included them in our creeds. And people of faith started out, and there was a season when a church committee got together to decide what do we believe, and the Apostles' Creed appeared. And we say often, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Imagine the church disagreed, and eventually, 300 years later, they came up with the Nicene Creed, and they said, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible. The faith has permeated the globe, and when the Korean church emerged and salvation came to the people in North and South Korea, a Korean creed emerged. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. In the 50s, there's a affirmation of the church. It was called the Modern Affirmation. That's a long time ago. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We hear the echo of the Gospel of St. John, the very first words. When we're hungry to hear a word from the Lord, we often open our scriptures and we'll go to the New Testament and we'll open the Gospel of St. John, hungry for a word. And it begins very similar to the opening of Genesis in the Hebrew scriptures. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. For the love of God, creation came our way. Earlier I referenced, you've heard the expression, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it? Please. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, that's what we learn in the sanctuary, in the church. We turn to each other, we say, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's very different than the bumper sticker I saw on Woodman the other day. It read, Jesus loves you, everyone else thinks you're a jerk for church purposes. Our culture diminishes our identity. Our God created us. And our God loves us. And our God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about that other than absorb it. That's good news. Amen. Amen.